A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." Rugby football is the most popular game in my country of New Zealand, and the national team, the All Blacks, are very widely followed. For some years, until recently, the captain was a man called Richie McCaw, known as a dedicated and tough player. He is greatly admired from everyone even today. But for all his toughness, he's a modest man who is often in the limelight, but who never seeks to draw attention to himself. In an interview once after a game the All Blacks won against the odds, he commented, "You must be doing something right if you get the odd boo." Well, for Jewish leaders in Jesus' day, modesty was not important. The Pharisees believed that the three great works of piety were almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And in each case, a public display was thought to be quite appropriate. In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sets about reforming that entire concept. Piety is not about spectacle. These three activities, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, are about an encounter with God, a means of deepening our relationship with God. And Jesus spends some time in Matthew's Gospel condemning the conventional, superficial religiosity of his time. So when the disciples ask him for some guidance on prayer, he gives them a little prayer. Just a little prayer. He laughs at the babbling and repetition that seem to pass for prayer in some cultures. How silly to rap it on when God, all-knowing, all-loving, is very aware of our needs. Was it the American Navy who first coined the KISS principle? Keep it simple, stupid. I think Jesus would have grinned at that. Mind you, the Lord's Prayer makes it clear that we still need to ask quite directly that God's will be done on earth, not just in heaven. Of course, God created the world and made it so richly that all life could thrive. Yet in Jesus' time and in ours, children die from starvation, disease ravages many countries, homelessness, joblessness, war. These are not part of God's plan for humanity. The world is not as it should be. God's will is not being done on earth. There is a real need, not just a pious inclination, to ask that God's dominion come and that God's will be actually done. And then Jesus gets earthy and specific. It's a pity that translators have trouble with that word in the second part of the prayer. Are we asking for forgiveness of sins or trespasses or debts? It makes a difference, you know. In Matthew's Gospel, there is no question. The Greek word is ophelima, which means debts. No question, debts. Scholars have explained how this word needs to be understood in its metaphorical and cultural context, but first it has a literal meaning. What is owed? And the people in Jesus' time knew about that. They were squeezed dry by Roman and Jewish authorities, driven off their hereditary lands for the power and wealth of others. And economic systems throughout history and around the world have used debt as a means of exercising power over the poor. So however we grasp at the full meaning of that Greek word, let's be conscious that Jesus is being really down to earth in this simple prayer. And it is in that context that Jesus prays that God's dominion will prevail. This is no pious abstraction, but a powerful prayer for release from domination that keeps ordinary people in thrall. May God's will be also among us.